Why settle for court jesters when you can have three kings? Here are your hosts, Roy, Davari, and Dan. It's the Three Kangs of the Midway Podcast.
Everybody, welcome to the Three Kangs of the Midway Podcast. Or Kangs, depending on your vernacular. So we already know what it is, ladies and gentlemen. It's fuck the Packers week, you know? And I'm seeing a lot of scared Bears fans, man. A lot of scared Bears. We're going to jump off into the Packers week because that takes precedence over the win over the 49ers. We're going to get into that, but we got to talk about the Packers, man.
We got to talk about them.
We got to talk about the Packers, who look like dog shit versus the Minnesota Vikings. I watched the entire game. The coaches film, nobody talking, no Chris Collinsworth, you know, waxing poetically about how Aaron Rodgers is going to make a comeback, just pure tape. They look like crap, right? And everybody had, what are they, 10-point favorites?
9.5.
Nine and a half. Right,
9.5-point favorites.
Disrespect. Take that bet.
Take that bet, people. Disrespectful.
Disrespectful. And the Chicago Bears went out against the 49ers, who were a contender, right? Were one of the best defenses in the NFL, and won. They scored three touchdowns in the second half, three unanswered touchdowns. Not field goals, touchdowns. And won the game. And Aaron Rodgers didn't throw a touchdown, right? And then, like, I was watching ESPN. I want to say this, and I'll let y'all guys get into it. I just saw it and having one. I don't like to watch ESPN, but it was on the TV. I think I was trying to watch a game or something. And they started talking about Packers versus the Bears. And I was like, let me watch it. I posted the clip on Twitter. They were talking about the Bears versus Packers, and they started putting up highlights. They were showing Packer highlights of Aaron Rodgers throwing touchdowns to Geronimo Allison while Kyle Fuller was covering him in 2019. Neither of those players play on either team. They don't even play for the team.
And then they decided, for a while.
And then they showed a clip of Justin Fields, who threw two touchdowns, by the way. They showed the interception he threw in the first half. And then some game, in the Steelers game, when he actually had a good game, they showed where the defensive lineman jumped up and knocked the ball and kind of got that fluke pick for Hayward. That's what they showed for his highlights. This is the programming and the propaganda that goes on with the media. And this is the stuff we'll be talking about. This guy threw an amazing touchdown where he evaded the rush, rolled to his left, threw the ball to his right, touchdown. Equanimee, they could show Equanimee and St. Brown scoring a touchdown, but this is what they show. So it's Packers week, man. How y'all feeling?
In all honesty, and I'm just keeping it a buck, man. For real. Woo! We know the Packers is pussy. They scared we can hear their heartbeat. And that's what you that's what you hear playing in the background. That irregular heartbeat by 50 Cent. We finna stomp the living shit out of these motherfuckers. I promise you. I hate the Packers so bad. This shit here is personal. Everybody, look, if you ain't riding with us, then get the fuck on. Flat out. Because I'm gonna tell you this. If you think that Aaron Rodgers and a band of misfits, cast-offs, and other motherfuckers that wouldn't probably start for nobody else's squad in the NFL, including ours, they have nobody that we need to fear offensively. They have nobody that we need to fear defensively. They just got their ass whooped by a team that we just be... Let me break this down to y'all. They just got their ass whooped by the Minnesota Vikings, who we've owned the last four fucking years.
They were 5-3 versus Nagy.
Outside of last season.
I mean, we were 5-3.
And that's with fucking Matt Nagy. Okay? We got a better squad. We got better coaching. We ready to roll. And the thing is, we ready to roll. And the thing is that we ain't fucking around. We heavy hitting, okay? These young boys don't give a fuck about who Aaron Rodgers is. They could care less. They don't give a fuck about what he did last year, the years before that. All they looking at is an old motherfucker I can get my rep up off of.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere, this is the game that I can make my name. If y'all didn't believe in us against the San Francisco 49ers, you will believe after Sunday night. Because we putting the fucking NFL on notice. A bunch of young, hungry wolves. That's coming to rape and pillage everything in Green Bay and leave that motherfucker burning. Flat out.
Like some vandals, baby. Like the Moors. Like the Moors invading Spain.
This ain't no fucking game, man. Y'all want to tuck y'all tails and shit? Look, this shit personal for me. This shit is personal for me. I hate the fucking Packers. This shit is personal for me. And I know if it's personal for me, it's personal for every single one of them. You think this shit ain't personal to Justin Fields after he heard this motherfucker say, I own you? I've always owned you.
I've owned you my whole life.
I've owned you my... Exactly. You think this shit ain't personal to them that was on the field last year? They whooping ass Sunday night. Take it for what it's worth. Take it like a man or take it like a bitch, but this was happening at the end. So we ride hard.
Yeah. You know, you think about it and you know, I'm just confused by some Bears fans, right? And I'm confused because it seems like they're scared, like they're nervous. And, you know, at the end of the day, that's not how we supposed to get down. That's not how we get down. We go in, we talk trash. You know, we talk trash to Green Bay fans. We do that. You know what I mean? That's to be expected, you know? So anything else, anything opposite of that is confusing to me. You know what I'm saying? I just don't feel like, I don't feel like people are behind this team the way they should be. You know, win, lose, or draw, you're supposed to ride with your squad. That's number one, especially against a rival. And, you know, when we looking at this situation with Green Bay, all that I own you stuff, man, you know, he don't own the Bears. He don't own Justin Fields. He don't own these rookies that have never played against them before.
No.
He don't own Eberflus. He owned maybe Matt Nagy, Mark Trestman, or John Fox. You know what I'm saying? Maybe he owns them. But he don't own this new regime. This is a new day, man. And people need to understand that, you know, the slate is wiped clean. And it's not like Will posted earlier. He posted a tweet talking to the millennials because it seems to be the younger generation that are scared, afraid of Green Bay, the big bad Green Bay boogeyman, whatever you want to call it. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, he posted that, and it's like, man, I remember these days. I told people a story, and you know, I was chopping it up with Will and DeVore earlier, and I remember going to and seeing Chicago Bears beat Green Bay in Lambeau on a Sunday night game. I was there. I was in the stands in Lambeau Field talking trash to Green Bay fans.
And in real life.
In real life. This is I've lived this. So all that, we own you stuff? Nah, man. No. You may have owned those inept, terrible coaches that we had, right?
Yeah.
And that's what you owned. You got over on that. You were lucky to go up against that type of stuff, you know. And so now that we have, you know, guys that we feel like are, you know, coaching staff that's gonna be there and their goal is to win. It's like Lovie Smith. Like I tell you the story. I was in Green Bay. It was a Sunday night game. The Bears won that game, right? Brian Urlacher did his thing. Bears players did their thing, right? They won the game. I go back to the hotel. I get up about 5 o'clock. I'm driving back to Chicago because I drove up there. So I'm driving back to Chicago, and I'm flipping through the radio stations in Green Bay as I'm heading out. Lo and behold, Lovie Smith is on the radio in Green Bay. And they're asking him, you know, Green Bay people, they're asking him, you know, so, you know, you guys had a nice game yesterday and blah, blah, blah. This is before the Bears left that morning. they were leaving out as well, going back to Chicago. And Lovie Smith on a radio station said, you know, I love coming up here to Green Bay because I view it as Soldier Field of the North. That's what he said. I view it as Soldier Field of the North. I feel quite at home here. I feel comfortable here. So, you know, it puts it in perspective, you know, what we've come from, you know, what it's been like for the last couple of years. True enough, they've got us, right? But at the end of the day, this is a whole new regime. It's new players. They don't care nothing about that. They don't remember that. These rookies have never even played Aaron Rodgers. And like you said, like DeVore said, it's like I'm finna come make a name off of you. I'm finna come make my name off of you. That's what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And the problems and the issues that Green Bay have are not things that you can easily fix, right? This takes time to fix these type of problems that they have. If you look at the tape like we do, if you look at the games like we do, mm-hmm. you can see the issues that they have. They got issues along the front line.
That's not being fixed in a week.
They got issues at wide receiver. They got issues on the secondary. They got issues everywhere on the field. So at the end of the day, the Bears can roll in here and expose and take advantage of those things and come away with a W if they do it right. And I'm not going to say, hey, you know, because I've heard people say, I'm not going to say the Bears going to win. I need to see him do it first. No, I don't need to see him do nothing. I saw him win last week. So at the end of the day, yeah, I think they can beat this team.
We winning this motherfucking game.
Yeah.
Flat out. Yeah. Barring a miracle.
I think we can win.
Barring a miracle, we win in this game.
Sure.
It's got to be an act of God in order for us to lose. I'm dead serious.
I ain't that far.
We whooping.
Yeah, I ain't that far. But they are. This is a very beatable team. Just so people know, like, we watch the tape. Like, I ain't basing this on. You got people that say, well, until I see them. I get that, but I don't look at it like that. When I go back and I try to look at who might win a game, I actually look at this is why we told y'all the Bears had no chance versus Tampa. Because I didn't see a path. Like I was like, they're just better than the Bears at every level, every which way possible. And there was no chance in hell. I watched the entire Green Bay Packers versus Vikings game, the coaches film. Because I pay for NFL Plus because I know I like to do this. This is what I do. Right? I ain't watching Game of Thrones. That ain't what I do. I get on my laptop, my kids doing their homework. I watch the entire game, all 22. And so you can see what the line is doing. There's nobody talking, no one influencing you the way you think. You just sit back, and when it's all 22, when I watch all 22, I can completely remove myself from being a fan, from being a hater. I can do that with the Bears. When I watch the game, it's hard to do it. But when I watch all 22, I'm just an observer. And if the line blocks, they block. And if they don't block, they don't block. And if the guys aren't open, they aren't open. And when I was watching it, the wide receivers were not getting open. The line was not blocking. And when Aaron Rodgers tried to ad-lib and make a play, he's not as athletic as he used to be, and he got rocked. And I saw that. Or either there were miscommunications, and I believe it's a miscommunication because I know Aaron Rodgers' ass ain't inaccurate, so he would throw the ball behind a guy. That's because it probably was an option route, and the guy ran the wrong option. Based on the coverage. So I'm seeing this stuff. I'm not just making it up. But when Justin Jefferson was getting open, bro, it wasn't like he was just cooking dudes off the line, routing them up. They were running crossing routes. They were running crossing routes. The linebacker and the safety and the cornerback didn't communicate, and he was running wide open. There was some times when he was so open, he caught the ball, he jumped back because he thought there was going to be a defender. There wasn't a defender 15 yards within him. And it happened multiple times. They were completely breaking down in coverage.
Yeah.
Off crossing routes.
Yeah.
It's not like he was mossing them. It's not like, you know, no, it was like
he wasn't mossing them. And he did cook them off the line.
Yeah, he did.
Jair Alexander was exposed. Well, you know, he got off the line and then he gave him the fake to the outside and went inside. Mm-hmm. And Jair Alexander was lost. I mean, literally that one move dropped him back by 8 yards away from Justin Jefferson. So, you know, they got a litany of problems in that secondary.
Yeah.
A litany of problems. And it don't get fixed overnight.
It doesn't get fixed overnight. And you know the Bears know that this is a thing. They know that this is a thing. I'm gonna say this. I was listening to Alan Williams, and he's playing chess. I like what he said. He was like, oh, a guy like Aaron Rodgers, you got to get pressure on him. So we might blitz him. You know, we might blitz him. He ain't going to blitz Aaron Rodgers. Now with that weak offensive line, Elgton Jenkins is probably going to miss the game. Bakhtiari is limping around. Even if he does play, bro, he's not. I don't know if he'll ever come back. And if he does come back, he won't be the same.
Think about this. When people say they're going to blitz Aaron Rodgers, blitz. The Bears didn't blitz one time last week, and that's against Trey Lance. Mm-hmm. And that's because the Bears want to get pressure with their front four.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't feel confident enough that Trey Lance knew what he was doing, so they practiced it. That was practice, people. Mm-hmm. That's what they did last week. That was practice for getting pressure on a quarterback, because we know that Trey Lance can't do this, that, and the third. We're not even going to blitz them. We're going to send four. We're going to let guys get off. And they did. They still got pressure. They got pressure.
And that's the reason why they continues to rotate out the defensive front four to keep them fresh and to keep them on the quarterback's ass.
That's right.
That's why you only rush with your four down linemen.
Mm-hmm. Back in the day when we had Lovey, they didn't blitz at all. They didn't blitz like that. You might send somebody every now and then, but they didn't blitz like that.
Yeah, you might send Briggs or Lack on a
every now and then. But they got pressure with their front four. That's what they want to do. That's what they want to do in this defense. They want to get pressure with that front four. They got guys that are light. They got guys that are fast. They got guys that can bend that edge. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man. Y'all gotta watch this, man. Y'all gotta watch the film, man. Y'all gotta keep up.
Yeah, because with a weak offensive line, right, and you got weak tackles, you got inexperienced tackles out there. You don't have Bakhtiari. You don't have Trent Williams to stop Robert Quinn, right? You don't have that. So you got Robert Quinn screaming off the edge. We got the young boy, Dominique Robinson, who got two sacks. You got Travis Gibson. You got Al-Kadim Muhammad. You got Justin Jefferson. I mean, not Justin, Justin Jones. You know, you got Black, all these guys creating havoc in the middle. They're going to rush four. They're going to drop seven back. And they know you don't have the wide receivers to cook them. You're going to have two high safeties. They're going to take away the deep ball. And they're going to tell Aaron Rodgers to throw the ball short and have your playmakers make plays. And we're going to rally to the ball. And we're going to smack them all game. Smack them all game. And they better hold on to the ball because we're going to force a turnover. That's how they're going to do. That's what they are going to do versus the Green Bay Packers. They're going to tell you, we're going to get home with four. We're going to drop seven back in coverage. We're not going to give you anything deep. You're going to have to throw short, and we're going to smack you every time you get the ball. And this is how we're going to play all game. So be prepared for a dogfight.
You better hope your defense come to play, because if we jump up by two scores, we pinning our ears back, baby. Just like I said was going to happen against the Niners. The Bears going to jump up by two scores. They're going to pin their ears back. If it wasn't for the rain, it would have got a lot uglier than what it was. True, indeed, the score was supposed to be 24 to fucking 10.
And all those guys that's edge rushing, they can get to the quarterback. Even Justin Jones can get to the quarterback.
All of them can.
Right? So like you said, Muhammad, Travis Gibson. Yeah, man. I mean, they just, you know, come on.
Armon Watts, he can get to the quarterback. He got penetration.
Absolutely.
And then the kicker to this. You think Luke Getsy don't know how to attack this defense of the Green Bay Packers? You think he don't know what their weaknesses are? You think he don't know how to attack them? And then the beauty of it again is that the game was so fucked up against the damn 49ers. Guess what? We really couldn't run our packages and run our offense.
Mm-hmm.
So you still don't know what the game plan
exactly. Exactly.
What are you scouting? You don't know what to scout. Yeah. Because again,
if you pull that film out and you look at that film, what are you looking at?
You don't know what you're looking at. But I do have a caveat. Again, remember the play where Justin Fields hit Equanimeous St. Brown in the end zone, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you looked at the All-22 on that, mm-hmm. for those who don't know schemes and philosophies or whatever, Pringle was wide open for a touchdown, too.
Wide open for a touchdown.
He would have walked in the end zone.
But did you see the play, the safety? It made the safety conflict. He flinched.
Yeah.
He didn't know who to take. Yeah. And that flinch.
It's over. Touchdown.
It was over. Touchdown.
Period.
Touchdown.
Pringle was wide open. He would have walked in the end zone. And Equanimeous St. Brown was wide open in the end zone. That's the beauty of route trees, folks. You have one running a sail route to the out, and then you have another one running a dig across the field. Come on, man. Come on. Really now. Really now.
Dude, like, you got to think, like, who, like, think about this. I mean, I'm going to ask you guys this question. Who would, how would you would have felt if I told you Darnell Mooney, one catch, Cole Kmet, no catches, and they bottled up David Montgomery, and we won by two scores? Mm. Those are our three best offensive players.
But we ain't got no talent.
We got touchdowns from Dante Pettis and Antoine St. Brown, bro. And our backup running back.
Demo didn't get off.
Demo didn't get off. He was doing too much dancing. He got to fix that.
He got to hit the hole and just go. Because the holes are there.
He was dancing too much.
Hey, Herbert showed you. The holes are there. Just hit them. He looking for the home run. Don't get the home run. Just get the two, get the 3 to 4 yards, man. That's all we need you to do.
Yeah, I don't think, I don't know, man. I got a difference of opinion on that, though.
But again, you know, it was a monsoon, so he really couldn't.
Yeah, it's a monsoon. You got to think about it, too. In the first half of that game, the Bears had horrible starting position.
Yes.
Yeah, they did.
And if you look at the boxes, to me, it seemed like they were stacking up boxes against the run, right? So they had people in there against the run. So, you know, if you're starting off at the 14 or the 10-yard line every single possession, right, they know you're not going to pass the ball in that weather condition, number one. So they're just waiting on you to run the ball. So when Demo was out there running the ball in the first half, yeah, he wasn't doing it. He wasn't getting that much penetration. He wasn't getting that much activity going. So, you know what I mean? It'll be nice to see him in a different setting. I know it's going to rain, I think, on Sunday in this Green Bay game too, possibly. But, you know, it won't be bad as last week.
And you were really supposed to be clear.
I think he's, you know, Khalil Herbert is a good back, but I'm tired of people acting like Khalil Herbert.
He ain't David Montgomery now. Come on.
He ain't taking David Montgomery's job, yo.
Nah.
Not right now, anyway.
Yeah, if they don't sign him, he can fill in. He got to step up his pass protection, you know, and his pass catching. Those are the things, because Demo actually made some good plays in that one little pass. But Justin Fields kind of shuffled it to him, and Demo broke. Yeah. That's when there's
25
a difference between
game.
The two players.
Yeah.
Yo. So, man, stop being scared of the Packers, man. Please don't. Please. Like, I understand with fans and media, they get all this historical, and they've all – that doesn't matter. Well, they're like, bro, have you – like, this is when I come, like, have people played sports? Have you ever, like, played a pickup game? And you know how somebody come out, they pick a good ass team. You like, damn, they actually pretty good.
And then they get
do you go out there and just beat you, but you still go out and play? Do you like not play? Do you just say, nah, they gonna win? I'm gonna just walk up and down the court and let them beat my ass. Right. No, you play.
Something you know like what? This. If all you got to do is look at it, and that's a perfect point, because look at what the Bears did last week. They was down 10-0 in the first half. San Francisco was really kind of dominating what was going on, right? Mm-hmm. As far as field position, being able to get into the red zone. They got into the red zone four times. They only came away with 10 points, so that was a plus. But at the end of the day, in the first half, the Bears couldn't get nothing going offensively. They only threw the ball seven times. It was 3 for 7, I think Justin was. So at that point in time, down 10-0 in a monsoon, they could have looked at it and said, you know what, back it up, man. Let's go on to the next week. Start getting ready for Green Bay. But that's not the mentality that they have. And that's because Eberflus is teaching them different things. They stay locked in. So you mean to tell me that they're going to think, oh, Green Bay is Green Bay, so we're not going to be locked in for this? If they was locked in through that monsoon, through that against San Francisco, who did go to the NFC Championship game last year.
Beat the Packers.
If they stayed locked in for that game, why would they not be locked in and ready to go for this game?
Because it's Aaron Rodgers.
Man. He owns the Bears. Man. He owns us. Or the Packers. We own the Bears. Shit your fucking dumb ass up.
Chop bitch ass up.
No,
it ain't time to play pussy, man.
No.
It ain't time to play pussy. All right. You either gonna ride with us or get the fuck on. I keep repeating this. Because again, you know what? Look, if I'm going to war, I'm going to war with cats that's like, goddamn it, we finna go and we finna fuck shit up. I don't want to go to war with anybody that, oh man, they've beaten our ass the last 15 years, man. I don't know, man. Oh fuck, man. We gotta play the Packers, man. Shut your punk ass up. We go out there to fucking win, okay? That's these the mentality care, of a bro. Warrior. I don't give a fuck what you care. Did last year. This is a new year. These the same motherfuckers that sit up there. Oh my God, we lost Khalil Mack. We lost Allen Robinson. Oh no. Oh, what are we gonna do? Shut the fuck up. Like I said, there'll be a new 1,000-yard receiver now that he's gone. There'll be a new sack leader on this team now that Khalil Mack's gone. The fucking sun will still rise tomorrow. There's nothing changing that. So you either roll with it or get the fuck on. Plain and simple. We still having a game in Green Bay, no matter how scared you motherfuckers is. There's still going to be a game Sunday night.
The beautiful thing is that they don't play.
And exactly.
The scared motherfuckers don't play.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't play.
Yeah, and you can tell that they never played any type. Again, that goes back to this fan base. You can tell that they never played a fucking athletic sport in their life. Because what person goes into a game thinking they're going to fucking lose?
You go and ball. Even if you think the team is better, you go out and say, okay, well, today they're going to lose.
But if you ain't talking cash money, don't be talking it if the Bears win. If the
exactly.
Bears win with this victory, I don't want to see all these people.
I knew we could do it.
You know, talking. When I was at the game, I was the only Bears. Well, I thought I was the only Bears person in that section, right? And I'm talking cash money the whole time. It's a dude in front of me. The whole game, he didn't say a word. The Bears scored that last touchdown where they threw it over the top, up the seam to the tight end. All of a sudden,
that was the Greg Olsen, wasn't it?
He take his jacket off. He got a Bears shirt underneath.
Punk ass.
Oh, God.
Now all of a sudden, he talking trash now. I'm like, dog, I've been here the whole time by myself, and you've been a Bears fan this whole time? I thought you was a Green Bay fan.
You coward!
Dang.
Dude, that's what I told him. I said, I keep the same energy. Like, Green Bay, because there's a few Green Bay people that follow me. I follow them. It's actually some cool ones. That they can take the back and forth. Right. I say I keep the same energy no matter what, because I know it's going to swing, because I've seen it swing the other way, and I had that same energy. So when y'all got the edge, I still was like, fuck Green Bay. So when it flips, you won't be able to say, Roy came out the woodworks and flipped the script. You'll be like, he was talking shit from day one. And you got to respect it. You got to respect it. I ain't deferring to shit. Fuck Aaron Rodgers. I can't wait till Justin Fields takes the fucking crown and wears it, and he goes off and ride off and do his, like, mushrooms and fucking opioids. And
go pop him a fucking X-pill and shit.
Another thing, how he get away with that, bro? How you get away with that? Somewhere Josh Gordon got to be like, dang, bro, I just rolled up, man. I'm still on my rookie contract.
Meanwhile, this motherfucker popping X pills, doing heroin, and every motherfucking thing else. Calling
LSD.
calling that shit Hayushka. Calling it Hayushka, like, motherfucker, we know what that is. You going on a last ride every weekend and shit with coke, ecstasy, heroin, crack. Weed all mixed in one motherfucking pill that you call Hayushka.
Weed's damn near legal. He over here doing hard drugs. Yeah. Josh Gordon got kicked. Ricky Williams got kicked out of NFL for smoking a cigarette.
Weed. Yeah.
Smoking weed. Smoking marijuana. Dirt weed, too, weed. Back then. They didn't even have single weed. They didn't have a good weed back then.
I think in all honesty, and this is the honest to God truth, though.
We're going out the rails. Let's get back.
Aaron Rodgers. He's taking that money, knowing that he pretty much has no talent on his roster. And I think he has a big fuck you to Green Bay. And I don't really think he's competing to win.
He don't care.
He like, he man, care. I don't give a fuck. Whatever.
Yeah. He don't care.
I'm just here to spend the money. I'm just here to get the money.
Bay fans that recognize
exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's why they keep asking what's going on after that. I don't know. You got to talk to me when the season over with. I don't know what's going on.
He collecting all that money, bro.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, at this point, he don't care. It don't matter.
It was known when Davante Adams left. He like, man, fuck, we toast. It is what it is.
Dude, they are. Like, I hate to, you know, I know everybody got this unhealthy fear of Aaron Rodgers, bro. If there was something else, bro, I would tell you. Like, I don't have a reason to lie. You can go and watch it yourself. You probably can get a free trial. Just watch it. Don't watch the film where all these dudes are going to be sucking them off. Just watch it. I posted like three clips. It's right there. Like, I posted it. Like, it shows the wide receivers. They aren't open. It shows him trying to roll out. He's not fast anymore. He got his ass rocked by Darius Smith. And you know, it is what it is, bro. Like, I'm not making this shit up. They aren't right now. They aren't that good of a team. Their wide receivers, Christian Watson ain't gonna turn into Randy Moss overnight.
No,
that's Lazar. Alan Lazar, people. Oh, Lazar, my.
He's not even playing.
He might not even play. He can't, bro. He had 40 catches last year. He's a solid player.
What you call him, Nance? Lizard.
Lizard. Alan Lizard.
He's solid. It's like Byron Pringle was hurt and came back. Like, it was okay, great. Byron Pringle was a decent receiver.
But I want y'all to understand something. Those that's listening, we had them motherfuckers beat both times last year, and yeah. Nagy fucked it up.
Yeah.
All right?
The second game, them boys kind of, they knew,
we
they
had
knew
them
it was over.
Beat both times last year, and Nagy, he Nagy'd it. Plain and simple. It was just a little adjustment that needed to be made, and he didn't fucking make it. And when they caught on to what we was doing, they took it away, and then we couldn't do it no more.
Even when, remember when Khalil Mack came in his first game, mm-hmm. and how good they played, we could have won that game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Could have won that game.
We never scored again.
Scored all those points in the first half. 20 points in the first half. Never scored again.
And then 2019, the first game, we lost 3-10.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's not like they blew us out.
It's not like they just killing us every single time they play. It's not like he goes out there. I mean, you know what I mean? They winning, but I mean, you know, this, you know, it's.
Well, he had that one game where, you know, when the Bears were at that lowest.
Yeah.
You know, when we had Shea McClellan.
And he came to pile on, bitch.
Yeah. And so people, like, I saw that clip floating around. I'm like, bro, did you realize? Look at that team.
But that was the same team. No, the next year, same team, awful. They beat them in Green Bay on Thanksgiving. Remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
Pop their ass.
Yeah, that's John Fox Bears.
We had.
But see, they brought Vic Fangio. They brought Vic Fangio was the D coordinator.
Who was the corner? The corner. He was the corner in New Orleans.
Kyle Fuller was a rookie then, wasn't he?
Yeah, Kyle Fuller was a rookie.
Yeah, who was the corner in New Orleans though that we had got?
And Porter.
He had picked him off.
Yeah, it was Porter.
Yeah, Porter. And he got up doing the lockdown to Aaron Rodgers, like, you getting clamped down, lockdown.
Yeah, I remember that.
Beat him.
It was Thanksgiving. I remember them being up there with, like, Michelle Tafoya.
Yeah.
Up there with the Thanksgiving stuff. Yeah.
Eating
a turkey leg and shit. So, nah, man. Like, even that team was loaded. They had, like, Jordy Nelson.
Yeah.
Greg Jennings and Donald Driver. Like, we beat them. Bro. Who else? Jermichael Finley. They don't have that. They got Aaron
Mercedes
Jones,
Lewis.
A good player. Yeah, they
Mercedes
got
Lewis,
Jones.
Old ass.
Yeah, he's
AJ
old.
Dillon, he good.
He's good. Tunyon's good. Outside of that, bro, like, Sammy Watkins? Like, really? You scared of Sammy Watkins?
Nah.
You scared of Romeo Doubs?
And the
nice
lizard.
Young player.
And the Lizard.
Nah, man. Stop being scared of Green Bay. Have confidence. Win, lose, or draw. And listen, we lose. I'm still talking shit to Green Bay fans.
Yeah,
it don't matter to me. I'm always going to talk shit. My heart's going to pump no Kool-Aid.
Even when I lose, I win.
Yeah. So, yeah, man, the 49ers. I want to talk about this a little bit because we got all these national media assholes making excuses for the 49ers, talking about the Bears won because they played in the monsoon. I did a little clip on the little YouTube page, right? I was trying to figure out what play of the rain affected the 49ers to stop them. Did they drop a bomb? Was that like a 40-yard pass and Debo was running wide open and he slipped on the grass and it was incomplete? Or Trey Lance was about to throw this wide open touchdown to Brandon Ayuk and the ball slipped out of his hand because it was wet. Did they miss any kicks because of the rain? Was there anything? Did the Bears score a touchdown because the defender fell down in the rain and Darnell Mooney? No, it didn't happen. None of that shit happened. What happened was the Bears missed two extra points.
Mm-hmm. Dropped an interception.
Eddie Jackson dropped the interception.
Dropped the interception.
In the rain.
Yeah.
Wide open interception. Trey Lance just threw that motherfucker up for grabs. the field goal, when they tried to mop up the water with the towel, we got knocked back 15 yards when it should have been a 5-yard penalty.
Right.
But we got knocked back 15 yards. We actually lost points because of the weather.
Right.
Darnell Mooney and Cole Kmet and David Montgomery were ineffective because of the weather.
Right.
We won the game based on Justin Fields making plays. That's what happened. And you didn't make the plays. It always comes down to how many plays, fellas. Three, four plays in the game.
Decide the outcome of a game. It's a week-to-week league.
Yep.
But and for we Green Bay, whatever they got going on that ails them, they not fixing that shit in a week.
No.
That's deep-rooted issues with the Packers.
Yeah. You know, you think about this game with San Francisco, though, and it happened the way kind of like we thought it would happen. I think we all took them to win, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ugly game. I thought it would be a little bit different. I thought they would like blitz them more, but now I see what they were trying to do. So they went in there with a whole different game plan. It fooled me. You know what I mean? So, and it won. It worked. You had Trey Lance looking, you know, scared out there. He looked a little bit, you know, he looked unsettled. You know what I'm saying? And so that worked out really well. And, you know, at the end of the day, Justin Fields stayed locked in. You know, at the end of the game, in the locker room, they gave game ball to Fluce. They gave another one to Poles. And Fluce said in that locker room, you know, it's two things that happened for us today. And we all know about the hits, right? We know about hustle, you know, intensity, takeaways. We know smart. About that stuff. Smart football. Yeah, playing smart. We know about that, right? But he said two things in there, and it really stood out to me. He said, men, y'all was able to stay physically and mentally. You had physical and mental stamina.
Mental stamina, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? You can be physically, you know, you sound and have stamina, be able to finish a game or whatever, but can you mentally? And the Bears were able to do that. I said it earlier, like they could have packed it up, bro. In those weather conditions, I mean, the rain was coming down, bro. I mean, the water on the field was standing puddles.
At that point where it came down like a monsoon and we was up 19-10, I said, it's over.
Yeah, so
it's over. There's no way you coming back with this. It was 5 minutes left, and it was like monsoon rain. I said, yeah, that's over. That's ball game.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. They was able to lock in and stay locked in mentally. So when you're able to do that, I think that really speaks volumes for what the coaching staff is doing and what the players as well. Like, these guys are bought in. Tevin Jenkins after the game said, what Fluce has been telling us, what he's been preaching, is now happening. It's coming true. You know what I'm saying? And we talked about that subject before. Like, I thought Tevin Jenkins was one of those guys that initially didn't quite buy in, right? Because you was moved on the line. You probably was playing the position that you didn't want to play. But look at what he was doing out there, bro.
Mm-hmm.
You see the pancakes he was doing?
Yeah.
You see? I mean, like,
Nick Larry Borum. Larry Borum got one, too.
Larry Borum?
Nick Bosa. He raped Nick Bosa.
Them chokers right there was playing, dog. They was playing on that line, right?
Yeah.
They was playing on that line. So, you know, they was able to stay locked in, man, and it worked out. That's why, you know, this national media, you know, what they're pushing, the spins that they're putting out there, the narrative that they're putting out there, the propaganda even, like you said, right? It's so egregious because did you look at any film? Did you look at anything on that tape? You know, we can isolate, and I can give you the facts of the matter, right? 88% of the pass blocking opportunities was win situations for the Bears. On average, the league average last year was 60%.
Mm-hmm.
They play excellent, bro.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't get – I didn't hear anybody give the offensive line credit.
Nope, at all.
And Justin Fields had the most time out of all quarterbacks this week with 3.077 seconds.
Even more than
Justin Herbert. And nobody gave that offensive line any love for it.
Nobody.
Because they said we were the worst offensive line in the NFL.
Yeah, that's
the narrative. Scott said we're barely a professional NFL team.
Bart Scott's an idiot. Bart Scott's an idiot.
Bart don't know shit.
He's an idiot. And Mike Marks, too. And Mike Marks,
he
can do his little tour where he's trying to clean up the situation.
Try to Michael Jackson moonwalk.
Because he's been getting drugged all over the place. Yeah, you're trying to clean it up now. But we know what you said, and I know what he said. I know what he said.
So, but straight up, we're not going to give him a pass for Trey either. We're not even 49ers fans.
Exactly.
But you can't judge a quarterback it's probably his third start, but his first season,
making a start
in a monsoon.
Right.
On the road
versus
a good defense. I know you didn't think they were a good defense. We told you They were a good defense. Making a that's not an easy thing to do, right? Give that guy a little bit more than one game.
And he was working without his best receiving option, because I don't care what you say, Debo is Debo, right? Mm-hmm. But his best receiving option, in my opinion, is George Kittle. That's his safety blanket. That's the guy who we can throw the ball to. So you working without that in a monsoon, without your safety blanket. Come on, bro. You know what I mean? How can you with good conscience evaluate that dude and analyze that dude and then come to the conclusion that he's horrible and he can't do it worth a dime? He's done.
It's going to take 3 years to fully evaluate. It takes 3 years to fully evaluate a quarterback. Like, I think, like, Justin Herbert, who lost last night, ruined it for a lot of quarterbacks because Aaron Rodgers didn't play to his fourth year, and he wasn't Aaron Rodgers, right?
Right.
He didn't become Aaron Rodgers until, like, his sixth year. Right. A lot of people are young. They don't remember this. Josh Allen. People talk about Josh Allen. Josh Allen to become Josh Allen to his third year. First year, he struggled. Second year, he had some improvement. Third year, he started the ball. You started to see that with Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts first year, he's okay. He's a rookie. Second year, there's improvement, but he's still not there yet. Now he looks damn good. That's how this thing goes, man. It takes these guys a couple of years. If a guy arrives in the second year, his first year, he is the exception, not the norm. It's not normal. Pat Mahomes even sat a whole year. Then the second year, he came out on fire. But Pat Mahomes is a prodigy.
Mahomes was in the right situation.
Yes, with weapons.
So with a ton of weapons, a track team around him. Mm-hmm. And then you had Andy Reid, who's kind of like the quarterback whisperer. He helps.
He's one of the best offensive minds in NFL history.
Well, puts him in good positions to win and do things. So he fell into that situation. Even Pat Mahomes himself said during the Super Bowl run, that Super Bowl run that they had, actually the following season, he said that he didn't know how to read defenses at that point.
Yeah, no.
That's during the Super Bowl run. Mm-hmm. That's when you won the Super Bowl. So he didn't even have it all. But he was able to operate because, you know, he had Andy Reid. He was in that.
Tyreek Hill. Mecole Hardman.
Travis Kelce, Mecole Hardman. I mean, you was loaded. So.
I didn't like that either when he walked it back and he was like, well, it wasn't about Justin Fields. It was just Trey Lance. Like, no, bro, I ain't giving you a pass for that either.
You can't even evaluate him.
Yeah, you can't even evaluate him in good conscience, man. So
just to add on to that, just the caveat, you know, because, again, he tried to walk it back and say, oh, well, no, Justin Fields had a great game. I was talking about Trey Lance. Again, that's still ignorant as fuck to make. Just because you're not talking about Justin Fields, it don't matter. We're not going to let you pile on Trey Lance either. That's another black quarterback.
Right.
Fuck that. Right. That's bullshit.
And we know, and everybody knows the tone that you had and what you were saying. I'm just going to be real about it. That was he don't like black quarterbacks. That's
flat out.
That's what that was saying to me. Straight up. So, you know, it is what it is.
I called him out for that. Well, I ratioed that motherfucker.
All these other right. Yeah, you did. All these other guys that say, you know, what are they producing? I don't see anybody talking crazy about Trevor Lawrence.
Exactly.
Zach Wilson.
Mac Jones.
Mac
like
Jones, garbage ass. Yeah.
Well, you know, what are we doing here? Why you want to hell bent on giving these dudes a problem and tearing down what they're trying to build? You know what I mean? Let these guys work for a minute and then really evaluate it based off what you
because
see.
Because we know.
In some freaking rainstorm, though.
We know what Mike Martz wants in a quarterback, right? He wants – Mike Martz is the king of seven-step drops.
Right.
He wants seven-step drops, timing offense, the line to be all world, and you got a full progression reads while you're making your seven-step drop. He don't believe in off-schedule plays, being athletic, and sidearm passes. Mm-hmm. He believe in strict, you know, like those, like baseball. Like, you got the traditionalists who don't want bat flips. That's who Mike Martz is. He don't want sidearms.
Yeah.
He don't want the guy spinning and making moves and running. He want a pocket passer who throws fundamentally sound.
Bro, he trying to walk it back. But he said what he said about Justin Fields because he said when he made that playground play, that was the words that he used where Justin Fields scrambled out and he threw it back across to Dante Pettis and Pettis got the touchdown. He was mad at that play. He didn't like that play because that's too much shine for the quarterback. See, that's his problem. He's an egomaniac where that's too much shine for the quarterback. You need to do what I say, and then it's more my play development, what I did, what I caught, blah, blah, blah. And perfect example of it, and this speaks to it, is if you heard Jay Cutler's clip that he had, right? Jay Cutler was like, dude was insane. Dude was nuts. Like he would be in the headset or you know, previous play or whatever on the sideline, throw it there, just throw it there. And he's like, I don't think that receiver's gonna be able to get it. You know what I mean? He's not, you know what I mean? That's not the receiver we want to go to on that play. Mike was like, nah, man, just throw it there. It's not, if he's not there, it's the receiver's fault. And Jay was like, yeah, but I know he ain't gonna be there. Just go ahead and throw it there. Throw it there. You know what I mean? It's not gonna be your fault. And Jay was like, yeah, but it's on my stats though. You know what I mean? You want me to just fire it blindly over there.
Yeah, that's how he wants you to play quarterback.
And that's how he wants.
That's how he played.
It's different from being anticipatory, right? Because you can anticipate a guy getting
over based on leverage.
Based on leverage, based on routes and everything like that. But you can't just be blind out there and just throw it here because I said throw it there. It don't work like
that. And that's actually why Kurt Warner worked, because think about it. This guy's young. He's hungry. He's stacking groceries. Right. He comes in and Mike Martz says, do this. And he's like, I ain't got nothing to lose. Right. I'm going to just chuck it. But it just so happened that Isaac Bruce, Torrey Holt, and Isaac Hakeem were the good, were the other, and they were there.
That was Kansas City.
Yeah. He came in and they were there. And he struggled until he got back with Arizona, where he had Larry Fitzgerald, and he was able to shine. But after he left the Rams, he struggled for a couple of years before he landed in Arizona. So people forget that.
This the kicker.
Kurt Warner. Yeah.
This the kicker. I want everybody to understand something again, because people are getting caught up. Oh, Mike Martz, that wasn't his fucking offense. That was Dick Vermeil's offense. Okay? Dick Vermeil was the one that ran that shit. All right? Mike Martz was just the motherfucker that knew how to run it. There's a difference between Mike Martz's offense from Rams to the Bears, and it's a difference in, and there's no difference in Dick Vermeil's offense from the Rams to Kansas City. It was the same shit. Ran like a finely tuned machine, okay? And he ran the same shit with the quarterback who got hurt and had a season ending injury, and that's how Kurt Warner took over. When he took
Trent Green.
Took Trent Green to Kansas City, had Priest Holmes at running back, had Tamarck Vanover at wide receiver. They didn't miss a fucking beat. And became one of the top teams in the AFC West. And they was always getting upset every year in the playoffs. Go through a whole fucking season, 14-2, 13-3, and then fucking lose the first round. That's why Dick Vermeil retired. His offense, that was his offense, folks. That wasn't Mike Martz shit. Mike Martz just got credit.
Mike Martz didn't win the Super Bowl when he was the head coach of the Rams. Forget that.
Yeah, at all.
When they won, he wasn't the head coach. He was the OC.
Yeah.
People forget that.
Yeah.
When he was the head coach, they lost to the Patriots.
Yep.
And that was it for him. He came to Chicago and had...
And brought old nasty-ass Orlando Pace with him.
Think about all the failures he had. I mean, he did coach the Lions, right?
Yeah. He in San Francisco too?
Yep.
San Francisco, failure. Chicago, definitely a failure. You know what I mean? I don't need a tight end. My offense don't need it.
We get the Samoan dude who didn't he flame out of the NFL like right after that?
Yeah.
I can't remember his name. Maliamua or something.
Yeah.
He was like another offensive tackle. Unfortunately, he wasn't an offensive tackle, and he couldn't catch. He was just big. And you trade Greg Olsen, who went on to be a Hall of Famer. I don't care about Mike Martz. Fuck Mike Martz, dude. You know, nobody cares about him. But we got this game versus the Packers, man. And we can get into it. I'll give you my thoughts, what I think the Bears need to do to beat them, and we can give our predictions. I think how the Bears can win this game is what we were just talking about earlier. They get pressure before. The Packers' offensive line is weak, so their wide receivers aren't that great. So the main thing the Bears are going to have to do, they're going to have to slow down Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon, because I think the Packers are going to have to run the ball and survive, which then will open up the play action, which would get those weak wide receivers open. So you got to be able to rush with four, and you got to be able to slow down Green Bay's rushing attack And if you can do that, you have a pretty good shot. And as far as the Bears offense, we don't know what the Bears offense really is. So Justin Fields, who I'm not worried about, Justin Fields doesn't give a shit about the Green Bay Packers. Justin Fields isn't scared of the Green Bay Packers. You're talking about one of the most confident fucking human beings on the face of the planet, right? Like, whatever your standard is for Justin Fields is lower than what he has of himself.
Right.
What you want Justin Fields to be, he wants more. Justin Fields wants to be, like, I'm like, people don't understand people that are just this driven. Justin Fields, I guarantee you, if you get him in a room and just gave him some truth serum, he wants to be the best quarterback that ever played the game. I ain't saying he will be, but that's what he wants. So whatever you want, unless you think Justin Fields can be the best quarterback that ever played the fucking game of football, it's shorter than what he has of himself. He wants to crush these motherfuckers. He wants to win. He doesn't give a shit about Aaron Rodgers. He respects him, but he's like, this old motherfucker, I'm going to dust him off. I'm telling you how he thinks. This is like, I don't know, you guys didn't grow up in the hood, so you got the old time dude in the hood, and he been running the block, and you got the young bucks waiting for him to slip, waiting to take his spot.
Yeah.
That's what this is. They are waiting to catch them slipping and wear the crown. It was like, you like The Wire. Remember Marlo and Avon? Marlo was going to Avon head because he wanted the crown. Yep. They were like, they tried to, hey, no, we could, Stream came and said, hey, we can start a partnership. He's like, no, I want that crown. That's what this is. It's only a matter of time before he takes the crown. It could be Sunday night. Hopefully it's Sunday night.
It will be
Sunday
night. I want
him to take the crown. Take that fucking crown and wear it, Justin. Take it. Right. This is the opportunity. If the Bears win Sunday night, prime time, the narrative on this team changes. Justin Fields can enter superstardom.
Go ahead.
This is the time. My prediction, based on, I watched the tape. I ain't just basing this on like I'm a fan. The Packers look like shit. I'm being honest. They the whole game. They didn't have a good quarter, a good half. They didn't have nothing. They had a good drive. They had one good drive that I liked when they ran the ball. I say the Bears win. I don't think this is going to be some catastrophic ass-whooping blowout. I think this is a rivalry. They know each other too well. I think the Bears scored 24. Like I said last time, they could have scored 24, but they had some penalties. I think they actually scored 24 this time. I don't think Green Bay is going to put up a lot of points. I think Green Bay scores 14 points. They find that way in the end zone a couple of times, but they don't have the offensive firepower to just run amok on the Bears, and the Bears' defense is too good. And I think the Bears can control the line of scrimmage, and I think the Bears can do just enough on offense on a overrated Green Bay defense, because that defense is overrated. They were like 22nd on deep football outside as DVOA last year. People said they got the best defense in the NFL. They don't, and they didn't look like the best defense in the NFL. The 49ers have a way better defense than the Green Bay Packers. Way better. That's my prediction. 24-14, Chicago Bears, 2-0. Fuck the Green Bay Packers.
If you watched the game last week, and once that offense got rolling, once it dried up a little bit, you seen long, sustained drives. Long, sustained drives where the offense was literally walking down the field and punching it in for scores. With that said, I don't think Green Bay has anything for us to be worried about. I don't think this game is close. I got a score of the Chicago Bears 27, Green Bay 13. That's what I have, a two-score game to where the game is more out of reach than what the score predicts. The game was always out of reach than what the score predicts. Again, like I said, I think that they go out there, the Bears jump on them early, and it's an effect to where Aaron Rodgers is going to try to press, and it's not going to work. It's not going to work this time. It's not going to work. I think he gets picked off twice.
They don't throw that many picks.
I think he gets picked off twice because he's pressing to try to go down and score. I think he gets picked off twice. I think the reason why he gets picked off twice is because that defensive front is going to get to him often, early and often. I think he's sacked over 5 times in this game. I think he will be sacked over five times in this game.
That might happen. That actually might happen.
And I think it's going to
I'm telling you.
And I think it's going to lead to two turnovers, and bet the over on five sacks in this game as the Bears go into Lambeau Field and shock the hell out of the Green Bay Packers. I don't know why it's much of a shock, because it ain't a shock to me, but they will shock America rolling into Green Bay and dominating them the way that they do. 27-13 Bears.
Hey. Wow. That's big time. That's big time right there. That's stepping out there, man. That's a hot take. That's a nice one. I like that pick. I'm going to ride with Chicago, of course. I think it's going to be 27, and I would say 27-20 Chicago. I think the keys to victory for Chicago is, of course, stopping their run game. That's the biggest thing. Stop their run game. If you can stop and slow down A.J. Dillon, slow down Aaron Jones, they'll be all right.
Screen game.
I'm not afraid, of course. Mm-hmm. I'm not afraid of what they have on the outside or going down the field or anything like that. I think we can compete with them in that regard. I think our wide receivers can compete with their corners as well. Mm-hmm. Also, that offensive line for them, the trenches, is going to be very important. Can we get pressure? And I think we can. Mm-hmm. If we can get pressure, I don't think he takes five sacks, though, because I think he took a beating last week. And I think Aaron Rodgers is the type of person that will give up and start launching that bad boy out of bounds instead of taking the sacks.
Yeah,
instead of trying to win the game. You know what I mean?
Got to protect those stats.
Yeah, he's going to protect the stats. I don't think he throws two picks, because he's going to just launch them out of bounds. That's what he's going to do. But I think that's what he'll end up doing during the game. So he may take some sacks, maybe three. I'd say three. And we may be able to get one turnover from him, whether it be a sack, fumble, or an interception. But I think that's the keys to victory. Get a couple of takeaways, put some pressure on Aaron Rodgers, stop the run game, 27-21. One thing I will disagree with Roy about, this ain't going to change the narrative of nothing. This ain't going to change the narrative of our team. The narrative is now going to be, and mark my words.
I know what you're about to say. People, I know what you're about to say. Go ahead.
Aaron Rodgers don't have enough talent around him. All right? That's why the Bears won. Because he ain't got nobody, right? So that's what it's going to be. Even though at this point in time in his career, he should be making everybody better around him, right? And maybe if he showed up to OTAs and things like that and ingratiated himself with these rookies, maybe he'd be on the same wavelength with them, which means that he's a terrible leader, which is something that I've been preaching for his whole entire career. And people still don't see it half the time, and they turn a blind eye to it. So that's what it's going to be. I don't think the narrative changes for us. I think it's still, well, the Bears are lucky because Aaron Rodgers didn't have any tools in the woodshed to go to work with. So that's what we'll deal with next week.
Oh, you know what? We didn't touch on this. The effect that Luke Getsy is going to have on this game,
yeah,
and Lucas Patrick, he knows the Green Bay offense. I'm pretty sure Green Bay is going to change some things up, and they added wrinkles.
Yeah,
but he knows.
What things that they're uncomfortable with, and all of
yes.
that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. What certain right. looks look like, and people say, well, they know what the Bears are doing. Not really, because we ain't running exactly the same stuff, and we haven't really run anything.
Right.
So he's going to have, but he knows what they like, what they don't like. And Aaron Rodgers is going to be limited what he can do with the receivers he has. He doesn't have Devontae Adams, so he can't really freelance that much with guys that he don't have chemistry with.
He can't focus on one guy, man. That's his thing. He focused on one guy. Now you got a ton of receivers, and you don't know which one to focus on because you don't know which one is best. Because you haven't worked with him. Let's be real. He ain't worked with him. So he could have established a relationship. This falls squarely on his shoulders. And that's why there's a lot of Green Bay fans. And I've talked to him. Man, I don't even believe he really cares at this point. He don't care. He's just out there getting that money.
He's just out there taking the money.
I think he gets his money whether or not he retires or not. So his contract screws the Green Bay Packers. Because I think if he retires, they still have to pay him.
That's crazy.
It's crazy.
That's crazy.
I think some Packer fan posted that he can retire next year. They still got to pay him.
I think
so. He can retire and still get paid.
I truly think we beat them Sunday. the Bears and Vikings will represent the NFC North in the playoffs. The Bears, depending on who get the wild card, who gets what. But those two teams will represent the NFC North, and Aaron Rodgers at that point in time, of after missing the playoffs and getting paid, will call it a career. Facts.
That would be so sweet. That'd be, but bro, if they lose, they down 0-2 to division rivals, and then we start playing a bunch of soft schedules, dude, until we run into the Bills and Eagles.
Right.
Which ain't for a while.
We'll whoop the Eagles' ass. The Bills, that'll be a testament of if we get a Bills a go.
If the Bills healthy, we ain't getting out. We can ask.
Hey, you know what?
You got no chance.
I don't know that. I don't know that. Because, again, the reason why I say this, you got a team coming in playing off confidence. Confidence is a huge thing in sports,
but we way too ahead. We got it's a week-to-week league, but I'm just saying, hey, we ain't got the dogs to hang with them. Like, the 49ers, I knew they weren't as tough as people thought they were. The Bills?
If they was to meet tomorrow, we get thrashed.
Oh yeah, tomorrow. But what I'm saying is, again, it's a week to week league.
Yeah, it's a week to week league. By then the Bears might be able to, you know, like you said, that can confidence.
Yes.
That's a funny thing, man. It makes you play above and beyond. You know what I mean? So
again,
see, that's how you know we're not homers. We can say that.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, the Green Bay Packers are not the Buffalo Bills.
At all. I mean,
they're not.
Well, what I'm saying from this Bears team is reminding me of the beginning of the Legion of Boom and how they made their way and made their name. And how did they do it? They beat the defending champion, New England Patriots. They beat them. And then it's like they created a monster at that point with a bunch of ragtag, no-name guys. That became household names that Pete Carroll put together and nobody knew who they were.
Right.
This is the makings of the same ordeal. Justin Fields playing the role of Russell Wilson. You got Montgomery playing the role of Beast Mode. You got the young wide receivers out there playing the role of the receivers that they had that nobody knew nothing about. But they just got the job done. And then you had the defense and that defensive secondary. Cam Chancellor and
Thomas.
Exactly, Earl Thomas.
Hey, real quick before we dip up out of here, man, I just want to ask this question of you guys, right? What was the – we had a ton of rookies playing. We had a ton of new guys playing. Who stood out the most to y'all?
Dominique Robinson.
1.5 sack, yeah.
Tevin Jenkins, to me, stood out. Bosa on his ass.
Yeah, but Dominique Robinson beat McGlinchey and Trent Williams.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That was a rookie.
Yeah. That was major.
And you see him take Trey Lance and slung that?
With one hand.
One hand? Yeah. He's the truth.
Virtually, he's going to be
nasty.
Oh, yeah. He's going to be real nasty. He's going to be special.
He reminds me of Alden Smith.
Yeah.
When Alden Smith was in San Francisco.
Yes, sir.
When he was
young, sir.
He was slender like that, but he was strong, though.
Yeah.
And he swiped him with them two hands. Yeah. Ooh.
That dude was 6'4", 25, but he is strong, bro.
Boom. Yeah. I was like, okay. Some people just got it.
And if you look at the tape, he can bend, bro. He gets low.
Yeah.
He gets low.
Yeah. Yeah.
Going around the corners, going around the measure. Yeah. When you can bend like that, that's that bend that, you know, guys like Von Miller and Robert Quinn, they got that bend in them.
When they just go sideways.
Yeah, they almost parallel with the ground, bro. So, you know what I mean? Yeah, he stood out to me. Another dude that stood out to me is two guys. Is Larry Borum.
Oh yeah.
And
Tim Jenkins.
And before the game, I was in Spaces, I said, I believe. Because they was talking about Nick Bosa. Nick Bosa is going to take advantage of mismatches. And a lot of tape that I looked at of San Francisco, he was lining up against the right tackle. Because notoriously, the right tackle is more of your run blocking tackle, right? Mm-hmm. And he's not as good of a pass blocker as your left tackle is, right? So he was lining up initially against Larry Borum. They moved him, and he went over on the other side and started going against the rookie. Because Larry Borum was giving
him couldn't do nothing
business.
With
him. He was giving him the business. You see what I'm saying? So he stood out to me. And then when he went over there and he moved to the other side, that young boy stood out to me too. Braxton Jones.
Braxton Jones.
Yeah, he stood out too because he played him well as well. So
he took an L, but that we expect that. Yeah, Nick Bosa.
Nick Bosa. So you might get beat. I want him to be a little bit more physical at the point of attack. You know what I mean? Pancake people. But hopefully, and I'm sure of it, Eberflus in film session, he probably circled Tevin Jenkins and Larry Borum and said, "Look at the pancakes."
If you look at the tape on that play, it was a specific play where Nick Bosa was going up against Larry Borum, and Tevin Jenkins was peeling back, and he was helping Mustafa with somebody and was like, "Okay, you got him." And then Bosa thought he was getting past Larry Borum, and he turned around and knocked him dead on his ass, and then took off, and then pancaked somebody out of bounds. But Justin Fields to scramble. I said, "God damn, that's Tevin Jenkins."
Yeah, like, he's Jesus a fucking Christ. Monster.
That's what we've been wanting to see, bro.
He knocked the hell out of Nick Bosa, and just smacked him. Like, it was like a little kid running into their dad's leg. Like, boom.
He got work that day.
He got some work that day.
That's why when you seen the Bears score their last touchdown, you seen Nick Bosa with his helmet off walking off the field like he got his ass whooped. Like, God damn, man.
And you going to see that, bro. We, at the second half, we were winning the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Offensive line started dominating that defensive line at our defense. It wasn't even close.
Won and lost in the trenches, folks.
They said we were weak on both sides of the ball. And I said, bullshit. I remember that one guy said, "Oh, well, good thing that the 49ers played the Bears with their weak defensive line." I was like,
"Yeah, okay.
You want some crack, bro? Like, you guys, they were working you boys."
People was like, because they were swapping in Lucas Patrick for Tevin Jenkins. And they was like, "Oh, Jenkins got benched." Like, no, Jenkins didn't get benched yet, bro. He's working him in. The dude can't snap the ball. Mm-hmm. But you know what? They can put him in there and he can get some reps.
Yeah.
He can stay in shape. He can get some reps and keep, you know what I mean?
Wait till he come back.
For the game.
Yeah, because he's going to be the center. He's not out of sync when he comes back. He's used to getting physical. So he's going to come back. Mustafa held his own. But yeah, Lucas Packers is another animal, right? Dude, I love it. I love it when they surrounded what was happening? They got Justin Fields down.
The linebacker,
the whole offensive line.
Yeah.
Surrounded the dude.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, boy. Them boys, I like it. Them boys nasty. We gonna win games.
They ready, bro.
We gonna win games because they just dominate, which is gonna flip the narrative on what everyone said. Yeah. The Bears are going to dominate people at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball.
If they can do that, bro.
Bring your hard hat and lunch pail.
Exactly. If they play like the way that they played last week, if they play like that every game, bro, the Bears are going to win some games.
They're going to win a lot of games.
You can't be good in the trenches and lose games.
No.
It just don't happen. So.
It's going to be fun. Hey, Bear fans. We up out of here. But stop. Listen, man, one of my favorite movies, Juice. You got to get the ground beneath your feet, partner. You got to get the wind behind your back. And go out blast if you have to. Otherwise, you ain't shit. You might as well be dead your damn self.
Facts.
Straight up.
Facts.
Stop being weak. Stop being scared of the Packers.
Stop being scared, man. Stop being scared of them. Y'all take it easy.
Peace.